the core teaching of Christianity. And we're getting toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've entered the last chapter of, what is it, three-chapter sermon. So this is kind of where it gets good. I have a quiz. Who in here has read the Old Testament, or at least a good portion of the Old Testament? You know, it's part of the Bible. Is that part of the Bible thing? You read it? Who? I'm sorry, hold up your hands again and let me see. All right. Here you are. It's a pen, piece of paper for your quiz. Okay, here we go. All right, this is a time test. I want you, as fast as you can, to summarize the Old Testament. All right, go. Stop. Okay, how far did you get? Let me hear. What do you have? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go. Okay, stop. What do you have now?
God.
All right, let's give him a hand. Very good. All right, Jesus, as it turns out, could summarize the Old Testament a little bit faster than that. Of course, he was really good, and he knew where he was headed. And that's what he's going to do tonight. He's going to summarize the Old Testament. You'll find the scripture in the back of your programs if you want to follow along. Jesus opened the Sermon on the Mount by saying that it's our weakness that allows God to shine through us, which is weird but comforting for those of us who feel weak. He goes on to explain that really no matter how hard you try, you will not be able to be a good moral person. That's his sort of basic bedrock teaching on morality, I guess. You're not going to make it. You're not going to cut it. So your best hope is in a God who is generous and forgiving, right? Which is really good. Fortunately, that's the kind of God that Jesus preaches. He teaches us, in light of that, to don't be too good for anyone, you know, and to love your enemies, for instance. It's a basic teaching on love. He's just finished last week telling us not to judge people, and that is not to reject anybody. You can, you know, give them advice and stuff like that, but you can't reject anyone because, in fact, we're all in the same boat. We're all pretty rancid when you get right down to it. And now he says this. In the back of your programs, you can follow along on the big screen. This is from chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It's kind of Jesus beginning his summary of his whole teaching, okay? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up the basic teachings of the Old Testament. In everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. A few comments on this passage. This bit about ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door is open. I think two comments you might make about that. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people who are looking for something better in life. A bunch of people who, by and large, feel poorly about themselves, who are sick, who are mostly the downtrodden and impoverished in the world. That makes up the crowd that he's talking to at this particular point. So he says, what you guys need to do, now that you've heard all of this stuff about the good, generous God and about loving your enemies and about never worrying about material things, what you need to do is to ask and to seek and to knock. All right? Two observations he seems to be making. One is that this kingdom of God business is easy. It seems pretty easy. And the second thing that Jesus might be saying is, you know, a la Nike. Just do it, people. Just do it. And it's the second observation, the just do it one, that maybe doesn't jump out at you quite so much. But this is very active teaching he's given. It's like, hey, good news, the kingdom of God is for you rejects. Give yourselves a hand. That's right. The kingdom of God is for you guys. So ask for it, seek it, and, you know, try to break down the barriers between you and it. All right? That's very active, right? Go and get it, people. It's sort of his encouragement here. All right, so if I have described a kingdom to you, that sounds like this. All right, in this kingdom, the weak, rejected people, they're the most important people. People who join up with the kingdom will never have to worry about anything again for the rest of their lives. And in this kingdom, everybody's equal. There's no judgment and stuff like that. Okay, would you want to sign up? All right, good. I'm preaching to the choir. Most of you are interested, or at least checking it out because you're here. And I said, okay, ask, seek, and break through walls to find it. What would your question be? How, right? Yeah, you'd want a little more direction than that. But here's the point that I think Jesus intends for us to carry away. Go get it. Go get it. Don't just sit on your butts now that you've heard this teaching and contemplate, because this is not a kingdom for contemplatives. Right? This is a kingdom for seekers. Right? It's a kingdom for people who are going to do something with it. And so that's the first secret of the kingdom of God, of getting the kingdom of God. You know, it's just do it. Okay, just do it. What's the secret to getting in shape? Right? Right. Nike came up with the slogan, right? Just do it. You can buy our shoes. You can get, you know, the microfiber sweat wicking outfits. But the fact is, you got to get up at 6 in the morning and run, right? You just have to do it. Or if you're Don Quixote, you got to get up at 4:30 in the morning, lift 3,000 pounds of weight, run 10 miles, and take a sweat bath. But for most of us, we don't have to be that extreme. So you actually have to go get it now. All right. So the question that comes to you is how, and then the very next thing Jesus says, well, if you ask, you will receive. And if you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be opened to you. This is quite comforting because I think implicitly what Jesus is saying is, you know, it's not so much how you go after it. I guarantee you, people, that if you go after it, you will get it. That seems to be the upshot of what Jesus' teaching is. He sort of skips over the how-tos, which is great, because I think a lot of people teach Christianity, you know, they turned it into a religion instead of a kingdom, and they teach it as a sort of a system of how-tos, rules, which is exactly what Jesus is saying it isn't, right? I'm not going to give you any rules. I'm not going to tell you exactly how to do it. All I'm saying is get up in the morning and run after it, and I guarantee you it will work. That's what he's saying. Does that sound like a good deal? Not so much how you do it, it's that you do it. That's Jesus' basic teaching about getting into the kingdom of God. Can I get a big rousing amen? Thank you, people. I love it. Dying up here. Just kidding. Just kidding. So, you know, knock and you'll get entrance. And what's the reason that Jesus is so confident that just by going after it, no matter how we do it, just by going after it, we'll find it? What's the reason that he's confident? God loves us, yeah? Because it's the next thing he says. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him, right? So I have three pictures on my desks, and they're kind of related. All right. This is the picture of my little JoJo. He's 2 years old now. Come on. Thank you very much. Is he precious? This face motivates me, right? I look at this face, and I would do anything to make this face smile. Absolutely anything. And when I get up in the morning, you know, I usually get the morning shift childcare. This is the first thing I think. How am I going to walk into JoJo's room and make her laugh? And so it's a challenge I give myself. I open her door, and you know, I sneak in, or I jump in, or I dance around, you know, and I make her laugh. That's the first thing I do. That's the first thing I do every morning, right? This is the picture that I have just added to my desktop. This is my little Jeremiah Justice. This is my little JJ. Looks an awful lot like his sister. You know, and he's wonderful. I'm just getting to know him. He's kind of a serious Sam. He's sort of an introvert, while his sister is really extroverted. But, you know, the first thing I learned about our relationship is I would do anything to make him smile too, right? If if these guys ask me for anything, right, if they ask me for bread, if they say I'm hungry, there is not a chance, right, that I am not taking care of that hunger. There is no chance, right? I would storm the gates of hell to take care of the hunger of my children. That's how precious they are to me, right? And that's kind of what Jesus is saying. You know, what you have here, people, is not a God who is some moralistic, distant God. What you have here is a Father in heaven. And the way you need to think of your relationship with God is like this, right? You need to think about relating to a person, not maintaining a system in your life, right? And so Jesus is quite reluctant to teach it as a system. He doesn't say, this is how you should seek. He just says, seek. He doesn't say, this is how you ask. He just says, ask, right? The first way JoJo asked for food was like this, because we taught her sign language first, right? And now she can say food. And now she can ask for certain things that she wants. They all worked, right? They worked every time. I always give her food if she's hungry. This is the third picture I keep on my desk. Who's this? It's me. Why do I keep this on my desk? To remind myself that this is how God looks at me. That the same way I look at my JoJo and her desires, it's the same way that God looks at me and mine. Right? I may not even know exactly what I want, what's good for me to eat, but if I say, more? Nobody move. Right? If I walk up to him and I say more, or if I say hungry, he's going to take care of me because he's a pushover just like I am. And that's the teaching that the Lord Jesus is giving. It's not a system. It's not a how-to. It's a relationship. You know, he's confident because of a relationship. He's not confident because he knows that we're going to do it right. He's confident because he knows Daddy is a big pushover. Oh, and thank God for that. So in verse 12, which is the last verse here in your handout, Jesus ends his discourse. He ends his essay on the law and the prophets. Way back in chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says at the beginning, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets." And then for about two chapters now, he's been talking about that. He's talking about his view of the law and the prophet, talking about all of the rules that we read about in the Old Testament. And he sums them up for us. He says, first thing he says is, none of you will be able to keep them appropriately. Right? And the next thing he says, don't make anyone else do it. Don't judge anyone else. Love everybody independently. Right? God will forgive you. You know, that's keeping them is not the point. And this is his summary teaching on it. He says, so, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. This is a very famous verse, right? Even if you're not a believer, even if you've never read the Bible, if you've never gone to church, you probably know this verse, right? What do you call it? The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. People quote that all the time, not even knowing that it was a teaching of Jesus. But here it is, the golden rule. And actually, I think calling it the golden rule belittles it a little bit. No, it's not the golden rule. It's the rule. Right? It's the one simple thing that Jesus boils down all of his teaching on rules to. All of the rule teaching, all of his teaching on morality on earth boils down to this one simple thing. This is my summary, people. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. This is it. Period. It's the one simple thing. And I like simplicity. It makes me feel really good. I have a few observations on this one simple thing, and hopefully they don't complicate. Hopefully they only simplify further, or clarify further. Observation number one. When faced with a moral challenge, that is, when faced with a question of how to interact with someone, how to treat someone, we should never say, is this right or wrong? And just leave it at that, right? We should say, would I want this done to me? Or how would I want this done to me? Or how does this help me care for this person? Because that's what Jesus is saying, right? His summary of the Law and the Prophets is, every rule you've read in the Law and the Prophets is to educate you, to teach you, to be a better lover of people. Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. When Jesus has taken all of that stuff is those things, obeying those rules, help you care for people better. And that's why we gave you those rules to begin with. So you shouldn't say, you know, what's right? If I do this, will I be in trouble? You should merely ask yourself, what's the most caring thing to do? And that's a question that any idiot can answer, which is good news for me. Right? Anybody can say, you can't always say, what does the Bible say on this issue, and know. Right? You could spend your whole life memorizing Scripture and not know. But you can ask yourself, what's the best way to care for this person? Or how would I want someone to treat me if I were in that circumstance? You can answer that. And Jesus is encouraging you. That's how you should do it. The emphasis is on caring for people. Observation number two. I'd say this rule, the one simple thing, does come in the context of a teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. And part of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount could be summarized as this. Come on, be honest. Right? The key to doing the one simple thing well is being honest with yourself. You can't pretend that you want somebody to steal from you. You know, okay, I'm going to take this guy's wallet because if I were in his circumstance, I wouldn't mind if someone took my wallet. Right? Which sounds ridiculous, but we can easily do that. Right? You know, if he were in my shoes, he would excuse what I'm doing. Right? And we could make excuses for ourselves and apply different standards to ourselves than we apply to other people. This is why Jesus talks so much about standards in the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Don't judge. Because if you start messing with standards, if you start applying standards, you're going to screw up the one simple thing. You're going to start learning to excuse yourself. Don't be a hypocrite. Jesus hates hypocrisy, right? If you've been around nightlife at all and listened to all of these Jesus stories that we've investigated in the Gospels, Jesus can't stand hypocrisy. People who pretend they're better than they are. Why? Because you can't pretend you're better than you are and keep the golden rule. You can't do it well. It screws up your thinking. I am better than Will, therefore, what can I do in this situation? Well, if I were Will, I would recognize my superiority. And therefore, you know, let me get away with X, Y, or Z. You know, let me get away with ordering him around or something like that. It corrupts the way that you apply the one simple thing. So you have to be honest, which is why Jesus gives such a huge amount of attention in his teachings to not judging and not being a hypocrite. You know, which makes sense, given the way that he boils down. So come on, be honest. The second observation. Thirdly, do to others what you want them to do to you is different than don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. All right? You follow? Do to others what you want them to do to you is different than don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. And I make this point because I think our society has reformulated the golden rule to the latter form. Right? Instead of do to others what you would have them do to you, basically, American social morality is don't do to them what you don't want them to do to you. In other words, don't get in their face, and they won't get in your face. You live your life, I'll live my life. Don't hassle me, I won't hassle you. Right? That's sort of being a good citizen in our society. It's close, but it's not the golden rule. Because it's not necessarily caring to be hands-off in people's lives. I have ministered a lot in drugged populations, populations with a lot of drug addicts in it. And I've reached out, I try to help people with their drug addiction. Right? And often, if you do something like that, the response you get is, I don't want your help. I'm fine. Leave me alone. All right? Now, there's some times when you have to respect that and that you can't be a bully. You can't live anyone's life for them. But in those situations, guess what? I think I know better than they know what's good for them. All right? Is that being judgmental? Well, if you heard Jim Miller's teaching last week, it's not rejecting them, which is what Jesus is talking about. It's trying to correct them, but that's a different thing. Right? And Jesus gives a lot of teaching on humility and grace, so that if we go around trying to correct people, we're doing it in the right spirit, not the hypocritical high and mighty spirit. Right? But love is interventionist. Right? The golden rule isn't an excuse to sit on your butt and not try to help anybody. Because, of course, that's not what Jesus taught at all. Right? He taught sacrifice your life for other people. And to do that, you have to be active. You have to get involved. So, you know, the golden rule isn't empty relativism. It does not command you to be laissez-faire, to sort of live and let live. And consequently, it's important to know how God suggests we go about caring for people. You know, it's important to know some of those rules from the Old Testament. You know, don't covet. Don't be jealous of what other people have. Right? That rule actually helps you care for people well. Because if I'm jealous of what Will has, it screws up the way that I care for him. You know, so having the guidelines that God sets forth are useful guidelines to keep us in check, to keep us honest, and to make sure that we're not reformulating the golden rule in some sort of powerless fashion. Observation number 4. Jesus starts this last verse, "So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you," with the word "so," right? If you're reading in another biblical translation, sometimes it's "therefore, do to others what you would have them do to you." Or, "consequently, do to others what you would have them do to you." If you see a "so" or you see a "therefore," you have to ask what it's there for. You know, Jesus is saying, because of this, do to others what you would have them do to you. Because of what? Right? What's Jesus saying here? Remember, he has just said, your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him because he's a perfectly loving Father. Therefore, be willing to do to other people what you want them to do to you. Jesus' teaching is this. Because God is going to take care of your every need, you never have to worry about yourself in any given situation, and you can think simply about other people. And that frees you up to do to them exactly what you would want done to you, right? So in every relationship that you have, every friendship, every situation, every office situation, you are free merely to think about others and never to think about yourself. And that should enable you to do to them exactly what you would want if you were in their situation. Because you know God's going to take care of you. God's got your back. If they need money, you give them money. You don't think about whether you need the money you're giving over, right? Because God's going to supply your money. That's just a very simplistic example, right? If you need to give them time, you give them time because God will take care of you on the back end, right? This is good news, yes? So imagine that you're in a room of colleagues in some competitive, I don't know, business or college atmosphere. And you're all sharing stories, or you're all offering views on some political situation or something like that. In that situation, you should be thinking only about how to care for the people who are present. You don't have to think about what they think of your opinions, whether you're intelligent or not, or anything like that. You don't have to think about that stuff. Let's say you go into a job interview. You're sitting down at the table. There are three old, balding, white men in power suits on the other side of the table, and they're interviewing you for a job. All right? The whole time during the interview, you get to think about what you can do for them. And you never have to think about what they're thinking of you, or whether they think you're appropriate. Right? That's freedom, yes? Yeah. That's freedom. And that's how Jesus says life works best. It's free to be loving you. I'm free to be loving you in any situation because my daddy is a pushover and he'll give me whatever I need. That's the attitude that Jesus is encouraging. Yes? Jesus says in a different place, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't say that I'm not going to give you a yoke, which is a collar that oxen wear. I'm not going to fail to give you a burden. Oh, I'm going to give you work to do. I'm going to give you a burden. But it's going to feel free when you get it. Why? Because you're not going to have to worry about yourself in the midst of it. You get to let go. So Jesus' fundamental teaching on keeping the rules is you get to let go. You get to let go of all of that about whether you're measuring up or whether you're measuring up in so-and-so's eyes. You get to let go of all of that. And the price you pay is that you let other people go from all of that. And just pursue God and his kingdom. How? It's not even so much important. Pursue it. Just go find it. You'll discover along the way. Guaranteed. Because your daddy is a pushover. Because he's not going to let you ask for it or seek after it and not get it. He just loves you too much. He just adores you a bit too much. So yeah, there's work to do. And next week we'll talk about that a little bit. Jesus starts talking about how to put this into action in practical ways. But the point here, you should feel free the whole time. And if your faith, if your religion, if self-judgment or judging other people is burdening you, okay, then you've missed the point of following Jesus. You've missed the point. If you feel free, free of any accusation, free of upset, free of getting offended by other people, then you've gotten the point. And you're headed in the right direction. And there's probably more of the kingdom of God headed your way. All right, let's pray. Why don't you stand up with me?